Welcome to The Wolf Whistle, the podcast that interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Welcome to The Wolf Whistle.
Welcome to a continued special series of Wolf Whistle podcasts where we speak to former players about their best 11 from their time at the club. We're very lucky to be joined today by Mickey Holmes, a former midfielder or forward from the 80s. Mickey, how are you?
I'm fine, mate, I'm fine. Just looking forward to getting my best 11 out.
Good. Well, obviously, Mickey, actually, what was your best position? Because I've just called you a forward or midfielder. What was your best position, would you say?
Centre midfield. I preferred centre midfield, but when I heard Pird and Dean, I think it was only the last 4 months of my career when I got back after breaking my arm in that shape of hand, that I played wide right. And for the 2 years at Wolves, I played centre midfield.
Because you did. You did score a lot of goals. I mean, you've got that unbelievable record, that 7-7, which I don't think's got to be beaten. Now, what position was you playing when you were scoring them goals?
I was playing centre midfield.
Wow. And you know, strikers over the years haven't eclipsed that, so I doubt it's going to be beaten, but, you know, what a record, by the way, Mickey. So, what formation are you going to go for?
I've been thinking about this. I'll probably go a 4-3-3.
A 4-3-3, right. So, who is going to be keeping goal for Mickey Holmes' Wolves' best 11?
I thought about this. We had some good goalkeepers, actually. We had Tim Flowers, went on to an amazing career, but obviously he was only a young lad there at Wolves when I first come.
Yeah.
So, basically, I've probably got to go for Mark Kendall. God rest his soul.
What a keeper.
He was great, and he had a bit of charisma about him. You know, he used to do tricks on the edge of the box when we were winning 3-0. But he was a great lad. To be honest, he was good, come for crosses, and he was a great talker of the game, which helped the defence immensely.
And at that time as well, Mickey, really, it was important that you had experience in the team. And obviously Mark had played for Spurs, etc. So to have his experience, I bet, was invaluable, wasn't it?
Oh, of course. I mean, like I said, going about 10, Tim was a great keeper, and Vinnie Bartram.
Yeah.
But when Mark came in, he just sort of steadied the ship. And again, it's down to experience, isn't it?
Oh, of course. And who is going to be your right back, Mickey?
Well, I'm going to change it. I wouldn't know the other, but I'm going to have Mark Venus.
Okay.
Even though he was a left back, but he was a good player.
Oh,
get
Mark,
on the ball,
really?
Get on the ball, pass it, make things happen, instead of just kicking it 100 yards up the pitch for a bully. Do you know what I mean? At least when Vino were playing, at least we tried to play a bit of football.
Yeah, I mean, Mark went on to have a very good career as well, didn't he, Mick?
When he first come, he was brilliant. I mean, we went away to Spain, and I think he just signed before we got in the playoff. Before we got in the shape of Ant.
Right.
But he was a great player, great left foot on him, energetic, but a quality player, good passer ball.
To be fair to Mark, I think he could play anywhere across the back four, because yes, he was a left back, but he played centre half, so he'd definitely be able to play right back.
Well, and again, he, not the experience, but I mean, he wasn't a quiet lad.
No.
So again, you've got him at the back, you've got Mark Kendall, do you know what I mean? So if you give the ball away, you know, you get a rollicking, which was good. Because when I first joined Wolves, there wasn't that professionalism, if you know what I mean. When I first joined, it was, oh, we've lost again. Do you know what I mean? I think the lads got into a mentality.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Of just losing. And that was, you know, the better players we brought on, the better it was for the team.
So who's your left-back going to be, Mickey?
Well, a few players have said it's got to be Dave Barnes.
Digger Barnes.
Great lad, like I say, just great lad again, hated losing, give you a rollicking, but up and down, could cross a ball, could pass it into midfield and try and play football. And I think that's why Dave Barnes hated playing at that level, because which if you did was lump it. It was horrible being the midfielder because all you seen was a bad neck looking where the ball's going. Again, when Dave got it, at least he looked in the feet with nothing on. You know, he just made the ball up front for Bully, who made it look good.
But the thing is, a lot of people have said that about Dave, that he was obviously a ball-playing defender. And like you said, there's nothing worse for you as a midfielder, looking up in the air, watching it being lumped over the top. So I bet it was quite refreshing when you're playing it through the midfield and actually playing football.
It was. It was absolutely brilliant because, you know, as the team developed, we got better players in who could actually, you know, get it down and pass it. You know, and obviously it needed to be launched, which he does sometimes when you're winning 1-0 with 2 minutes to go. You know, you just got to go up, plan B, kick out of touch and then defend as a unit.
Yeah. And who are your two centre-halves going to be, Mickey?
God love him, he got the was Nicky Clark.
Yes.
Not to be in the team, but Nicky Clark was a young kid. And obviously when I first joined, he got thrown in the deep end. He got no coaching, you know, but we had, to be fair, Semi had no one else. But Nicky would have been an outstanding player. He was quick. He could head a ball. His temperament wasn't the best, but obviously I reckon if someone would have stood by him, you know, and coached him better, he could have still played at Wolves and been understudy to the two lads, which I'm going to say.
Okay.
But unfortunately, you know, they got him in and they got rid of him, which was ridiculous at his age because he was only a young lad.
Yeah, I remember Nicky, and it is a shame because players like that, really, you'd have hoped that they'd had the time to come through, but obviously it wasn't to be for him.
I reckon nowadays they would have given him time. Do you know what I mean? But obviously, when I joined the club, they just want 50 quid. They probably wanted rid of wage bills. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But if they would have developed Nick, or we had, you know, like, as I say, Sammy did his best. Do you know what I mean, for what he could. But if we had, you know, a coach in who could actually develop Nicky Clark, I think he would have gone on and stayed at Wolves and done quite well.
Of course.
But my two centre halves is Alan Robertson.
Yeah.
Full of experience, and it's been said before, he wouldn't get away with the tackles he got, but you know, the first tackle he'd get away with it, he'd get a telling off or a booking, and then the centre forward knew where he stood. So Ali for his experience, and obviously Floyd swept up behind him, which he had the pace. Floyd was so laid back. It was untrue, but you know, he was a gentleman and a great lad.
So with Floyd, like you said, he had that strength and that presence, and Ali had that experience. Did they actually play well together as well, Mickey?
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, Ali they brought the best out of him, but for, you know, Ali wasn't the quickest, but obviously he'd head the ball, he'd tackle.
Yeah.
He put it in roads ahead of him, got to him. Floyd had a little bit about him, you know, just covering up after him. And I think as old as Floyd got, the better he got.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He just, with experience and whatever, and then he's about decision making. And as I said, them two obviously did brilliant at the back for us.
Oh, definitely. So we're moving into midfield now, Mickey. That's a very, very strong defence. Who are you going across the midfield? And are you going to play one on the right, one on the left, and one in the middle?
Well, just to get the team probably in the middle, I would have, well, to be honest, I didn't actually play with him, but I want to put him in my team because he was a quality player, centre midfield.
Go on.
Was Paul Cook.
Cookie, Paul Cook.
He was amazing. Cookie was brilliant. Honestly, what an intelligent player, could pass the ball, ping, you know, absolutely amazing. And obviously, he went to play higher. But obviously, Wolves were getting higher as them, weren't they? Wolves were getting better and better.
I mean, Cookie must have actually signed as you left, didn't he, Mick?
I think he did. Yeah, I did, because I met him a few times. But, I mean, he's doing a great job at Wigan, and what a down-to-earth.
Yes.
You know, what a down-to-earth lad, brilliant. I mean, you've got to remember now in football, I've probably got him and Stuart McCall, who I know, who actually manages.
Yeah.
So it's great when that, I know Paul, you know, when he's doing a tremendous job, and I send him the odd text and whatever, keep it up. But again, great player.
I mean,
great player.
Paul Cook's left foot was incredible, wasn't it, Mick?
Unbelievable, man. Honestly, and again, he just opened things. He, you know, could put a pass 50 yards on someone's toe. You know what I mean? Probably for bullying Munchie. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It was absolutely amazing for him, because he obviously with their speed up front, to be honest, sometimes you didn't have to look, did you? Just put it over the top and they were onto it.
Yeah.
But he were a quality player, was Paul Cook.
So who's going to partner Cookie?
Well, with three in the midfield, I'm going to go for Andy King.
Andy King. See, I don't remember Andy, I'm going to be completely honest, but I know how popular he was in your era with your guys.
Well, when I first come, when Sammy Chapman said, and I remember Andy King from Everton, when I was a young lad, you know, watching match it there, and he said, on my debut, I'm going to play in midfield with Andy King. I thought, oh, Jesus, a legend.
Wow.
But God love him, but what a great, great, great bloke. And the funny thing about Andy, I'd not seen him for about 12 years, and he was up in Sunderland, we played in a charity match. Anyhow, I nutmegged him, and I started taking it, and he didn't even recognise me. And when I told him, he gave me the biggest cuddle in the world. And full enough, 3 weeks after, I see him at a Leicester game, and he was in the box or whatever. And he said, oh, Holmes, you getting here? Anyhow, I had jeans on. I said, you know, you had to wear a shirt and tie. Anyhow, he got me in, sneaked me in. But a lovely, lovely bloke. But what a player. And I was only 20, 19, 20, and the experience he passed on to me, you know, he helped me immensely. So he was a great player.
Was he technically very good, or was he skillful, or, you know, was he quick, strong?
Just strong, you know, loved to tackle, just organiser. You know what I mean? He just organised things, made things, you know, probably in his Everton days, he was playing with better players. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At that era, but obviously I signed for Wolves when they didn't have the players around him. And if you haven't got the players around you, you know, you've got no options.
Yes.
So the more options you get, you know, it's better for a midfielder, isn't it? But if you've got no options, sometimes if you beat the first player, get caught, the fans blame you. You know what I mean? But if he had options, it would have been easy for him.
So who's going to partner Paul Cook and Andy King?
I'm going to go for Rob.
I hope it's you, Mickey.
No, it's not me. No, I was thinking about me. But, no, I've got to go for Robbie Dennison.
What a player.
Robbie, brilliant. Left foot, right foot. And in fact, I was listening to you. You thought he was left-footed, didn't you?
I did, honestly.
Well, that sums you up about football, Jason. I knew he. I knew he was a right foot. But Robbie, great player, left foot, right foot, down and earth lad. As I said, he didn't have the pace. You know what I mean? But he just went past players like they weren't even there. And to be fair, he just whipped it in. And to be fair, in those days, that's up to the strikers. Once you put the ball in that danger area, and he knew where to put it every time, in between the penalty spot, do you know what I mean, 6 yard box, and that's up to the forwards to make their runs in there.
And again, with Robbie, what a great, great person he is as well.
Great lad, down to earth. I've seen him a bit more now, but like I said, we only see him when we get together. We have Steve Bull functions or whatever. I can't wait another 30 years for Shape the Van. But but funnily enough, I've seen Robbie about 4 weeks ago, because he lives near my wife's parents.
Oh, okay.
So I just said to my wife's dad, does he want to go for a quick beer? And we're in the pub, and someone went, that's Robbie Dennison. He was sat in the corner drinking a pint of Guinness.
Oh,
yeah. So brilliant. So we sat with him and had a couple of drinks, and that was about 2 months ago.
Brilliant.
But Robbie's a great lad.
Oh, he is. So you've got your midfield of Andy King, Robbie Dennison, Paul Cook. Who are going to be your front three?
Well, just behind them, he's got to be. He's John Purdy.
Oh, okay, Purds. Yeah.
He just that when I signed for Wolves. And I seen him in training. I thought, Jesus. I remember this is the first day, I thought, quality player. And then I seen the other eight of them behind him, I thought, Jesus Christ, what have I done? Yeah, but Perez had natural ability. Strong, could go past players. John will tell you now. The difference with John, it's like with Steve Bull and whatever, who Andy must come from non-league, much he wanted it more. I mean, Perez was spoiled because he come from Arsenal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he come from Arsenal, he had everything laid up for him. Do you know what I mean? Amazing. So when it comes to Wolves, it's the mentality of a player. Do you know what I mean? So he think, what am I? When he's played with Royal Castle and all that, and then he comes to Wolves and he thinks, Jesus Christ. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the time, he was a big fish in a small pond.
And I think with John, a lot of people do put him in that position. They put him just behind the front two because he was a creative player, wasn't he, Mick?
To be honest, I put him wide right, centre forward, whatever, but he could hold it, he could get it to feet. You know what I mean? You know, he was a clever player. You knew you'd get it back. You know what you were doing once you give it to John. But unfortunately, obviously, it didn't work out because John was laid back and he wouldn't not do the running, but he wasn't that kind of player.
Yeah, and he'll admit that.
Do you know? You can't expect a good player, technical wise, to run back and, do you know what I mean, be playing right about left. But he tried, but obviously the manager didn't see eye to eye. But I mean, you know, I was surprised because John went to Oxford and he played a few games. I thought he's going to prove other people wrong.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out there for him. Basically, he needed to kick up his backside.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But again, I'm still going, if he would have come from non-league, then he would have been a player. But coming from Arsenal, he probably had it all too soon, too young, if you're not.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Mickey. Who is up front with John Purdy?
It's got to be Mutchie up front.
Yeah.
And Mutchie, in his last, after I left, he got what he deserved. His contribute for Bully's goals. I mean, he made so many of him. Yeah. And again, he just put it in that zone, and his unselfishness to run off the ball. Do you know what I mean? Put it in. But I don't need to tell you that because he'd tell you that himself, wouldn't he? Yeah. I mean, he was George's best. Mutchie wrapped in, I won that lad. But again, Mutchie, great lad. I've got a lot of time for him. But he was a good player.
I think the thing was with Andy Mutchie as well, Mickey, was he'd score 20 or 30 a season. In any other team, he'd be top scorer. But you was all chipping in. You was chipping in from midfield. You know, Perds, Mutchie, Bully, everyone was chipping in.
Because Bully got all the goals, the records. Mutchie, you know, he didn't get as much as attention. But I suppose it suited him. But again, when he went to Sweden, he probably didn't want to go. But I mean, obviously, where they got him from, they should have looked after him better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They should have looked after him. They should have looked after the players who got where they were. Because you're talking about Robbie Dennis and Bullitt. They were good players, and they could play at a higher standard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And yet they were bringing other players in for Wolves. And I've seen the signings, and they couldn't lace, some of them couldn't lace their boots. Oh. But they'd pay $1 million for them. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, they were getting more money. So when someone's getting more money, you think, hang on a minute. But, you know, that was, you know, that's football. That is just life. But as I say, Mutchie, a great player and a great lad.
So who is going to partner Andy Mutchie up front? I've got a feeling I might know who he is.
Actually, no. Another thing I was going to say, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
When I first got, there was obviously Neil Edwards. I mean,
yes.
If he didn't have the injuries, honestly. But again, they didn't. He had a bad injury, but the way they treated him, you know, injured, just let him go, that's it, you know, bye bye. And then poor Neil had to start again, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, and, you know, the way they treated him was dreadful. But Neil, if he wouldn't got that bad injury or whatever, he could play wide right up front. And then another lad, I'm just saying it because I'm his mate, is Dean. I mean, as soon as Graham Turner got the job, he might as well have not kicked a ball or come training.
I mean, the thing was with Dean, 10 goals in 31 games, 1 in 3. Neil Edwards, his first 11 games, 7 goals. I mean, these are good goal-scoring records. I mean, 1 in 3 for Dean Edwards, that is a good goal-scoring record, isn't it, Mick?
I totally agree, but again, it's OK, you can make your own looking for, but it's all down to managers. If they don't rate you and they don't like it, you're out the door, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
you know, and that's basically it. But I mean, obviously, Dean went on to have a good career. Unfortunately, Neil had to go lower to Kettering, you know what I mean? But he played a lot of games with his bad injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I go back with, they were still young lads. You know, in that time, we had Sammy Chapman, who was trying his best. But if we had a coach, you know, like someone nowadays who's going to make you a better player, and hunger, that they could have gone on and gone higher up or whatever. But it's like, they're in first team, boom, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not someone who's 28 years of age. You know, they could have been coached on and made better. And I think, like, when Brian Little come, Brian was brilliant, especially for the forwards.
Yes.
And that they would have made them better players.
Yes. So which Edwards are you going for then?
Oh, I'm not going for any of that. I'm going for Bully. I can't go for any of them. Not with Bully. I mean, Bully's a legend. But I'm trying to say, if you know, circumstance. Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you, mate. But I'm just
going to have a chat about them too.
I know, mate. But no, but Bully's a legend, isn't he? You know what I mean? And the goals he scored, whatever. I mean, again, when Bully first come to the club, I've, honestly, second touch with a tackle. And I thought, Jesus Christ. But honestly, within 3 weeks, he's improved. The hunger for his game were amazing. And he just got better and better and unbelievable. All credit to him. All the credit for working. You know what I mean? He'd shoot from anywhere, score. I mean, I was proud when he played for England and made his debut.
Well, yeah,
but
you mean you've been part of that story, hadn't you, Mick? You know, in the lower leagues, you've seen him playing in front of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people to then making his debut for England.
It's a dream come true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dream. I mean, it would have, you know, Bully wouldn't even thought that would have happened to him.
No.
But again, it was hard work. And then I go on to the other two, hard work, but they believed in him, the manager. Do you know what I mean? So they kept him on. But Bully did a hell of a lot himself.
Yeah,
and an amazing player, and to be honest, they were all great lads, you know. And I'm not just saying it; they were all good lads to get on with. There were no airs and graces. Imagine we couldn't have been running third division, but what I'm saying, they were all down to earth. Do you know what I mean? As I say, when we meet up with them, you know, it's great to have the crack about the old times and whatever.
Who is your manager going to be, Mickey, of this great team?
Well, I'm going to have a coach and a manager.
Okay.
And obviously the manager's got to be Sammy Chapman. He signed me for what he did at Wolves. He don't get the credit. Signed Andy Mutch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He did what he worked on a shoestring. Do you know what I mean? And did amazing for what he had, for what money he had. But he character, funniest bloke in the world. But you know, he could hand out a rollicking. But honestly, amazing bloke, and you know,
a lot of people have chose Sammy, and they all say what you've said. He didn't really get the credit he deserved, and I think, you know, because he was a good manager, but I think it was the timing wasn't great. But he was a great man manager, wasn't he, Mick?
Honestly, amazing. I played under Terry Orris, Trevor Cherry, you know, some Brian Little, some good players, some good managers.
Yeah.
And he was up there.
Yeah.
You know, he was absolutely, he was amazing. But, you know, he was just there at the wrong time, wasn't he?
Yeah. Who's your coach going to be, Mick?
It's got to be Gary Pendry.
Gary Pendry?
Gary Pendry was brilliant. Honestly, he made you feel 10 foot tall. He was an amazing guy. Again, I've not seen him since I left Wolves. But he was brilliant. His enthusiasm for football was amazing.
See, I read you something know, the other day, Mick. You might be able to cast light on this. I've heard that he used to get a bit of stick off the Wolves fans, Gary did, because of his Birmingham connections.
Well, not really, because obviously we had first month when Graham Turner took over, but since then it was, it might have been when I left, mate, but they probably, you know, fans are fickle, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, for what he did, players will tell you what it was like, he was a brilliant coach, you know what I mean, and made you feel 10 foot tall, and that's what football's all about.
Oh,
going on that path, you know what I mean. But I would give him as my coach.
Well, Mick, your team is 4-3-3, Mark Kendall in goal, Mark Venus right back, Dave Barnes left back, centre-halves Floyd Street and Ali Robertson, centre midfield Andy King with Robbie Dennison on the right and Paul Cook on the left, John Purdy behind the front two with Steve Bull and Andy Mutch, the manager Sammy Chapman and the coach Gary Pendry. Mickey, what a team.
It would have been all right nowadays, wouldn't it?
It would, Mick, and I can't believe you haven't picked yourself, mate.
I'm not as conceited as as Colin. So, but no, I mean, I couldn't think that, you know, that there was players coming in my time. You know, I won't go through names. They're good players, but I kept my place for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it was a big shock what happened to me. You can understand if you're not in the team or you're, you know what I mean, you're out of the team. You know what's on the cards, but. But yeah, there's some good players who've come, but the, you know, that's the best Wolves. I mean, obviously, Cookie just come when I left, so I can just about squeeze him in.
Yeah, we'll get that. Because your last game for Wolves, Mickey, was the Sherpa Van Trophy final, wasn't it?
That was it, yeah, when I broke my ankle or leg and I had to crawl off at Wembley. And then, you know the rest the next day, I'm in hospital. And then I get a phone call saying, bye, Mickey Holmes tonight. And that was it, so...
I mean, Mick, it's not actually funny because it really upset you, didn't it?
It's one of the biggest things, obviously, it's in the past. It did at the time. I mean, obviously, big time. I mean, like I said on my podcast, but, you know, it hurts in the way it happened for no reason at all. Like I said, if I was in and out of the team or not playing, I totally understand. I know what it's like, but not when I've played the last 20 games from Christmas to the Sherpa Van Fire and out of position, which I think, because I'm not a right winger.
Yeah.
I'm not quick enough. And that was it. So it comes as a total shock. In fact, my wife just walked in. When I broke my leg, my wife has to come back on the coach with me.
really?
Because I had to get straight to hospital. Yeah. So basically, kicked me off the coach. Me and my wife went straight to hospital. Oh. And Graham Turner must have been thinking, so long, farewell, I bid you all goodness, unbelievable.
Oh, God.
But then the next day, that was it, found out. But it is what it is, you move on with your life, and it's just great to be a part of playing for Wolves.
You had a great career at Wolves, you've had a great career obviously since then. So anyway, it's been great having you on the podcast, Mickey, and we hope to have you on the Wolf Whistle again soon.
All right, Jess. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, Mickey. Ta-da, mate.
Bye-bye, mate. Ta-da. Bye.